else against you. You know, it's you know, we want to have a healthy esteem, you know, of being, you know, just being prideful, but yet we're not arrogant. And I want to read something on start here with this lesson tonight. Something from the booklet here. Say, getting the most out of self-esteem. It goes and says, the Bible does not emphasize self-love, although it does affirm our value as individuals. Scripture tells us, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. That's from the book of Romans 12:3. What is sober judgment? It's a realistic appraisal of who we are, both beauty and beast, wonderful and terrible, with strength and weaknesses. All of this should be part of our self-esteem. The only proper mirror for seeing our true selves is God's Word. As we look at the pages of Scripture, we find much to affirm and encourage us. We discover the astonishing fact that we are God's artwork, the masterpiece of His creation. We find the answer to our longings to be loved and accepted unconditionally. Our spirits soar as we learn the wonder of what God intends us to become in Christ. Amen. We're going to talk about our first lesson tonight in the whole self-esteem series. It's called Wonderfully Made. Wonderfully Made. And this comes from the book of Psalms 139.
Can you tell me, when you was reading that passage, the first one, you were saying, you said, what was it, Corinthians? Is that what you were saying?
I'm sorry. No. That came from the book of Romans. I'm sorry.
Romans 12.
Chapter 12, verse 3.
Thank you.
No problem. Our lesson is going to come from the book of Psalms 139. The book of Psalms 139. And it reads, a craftsman in medieval times will work for months on a special piece that displayed his finest artistic skill. Finally, when the work was finished, he would present it to the Craftsman's Guild in hopes of achieving the rank of master. The work was called his masterpiece. Discussion. Describe a piece of art or other handcraft item you really love. Are any art lovers there? I guess not. I'm an art lover. You know, for myself, you know, I'm an artist. You know, I grew up loving different types of art. You know, we just talk about Michelangelo. We talk about Rodin. Talk about Picasso. These are called master artists because these guys, you know, they put so much time and effort in their craft, in their piece that it blew everybody away. And some of them, these guys, they start different movements. You know, Picasso started a art movement, Van Gogh, what have you. But my thing was, yes, was comic book art or illustrations. And the thing is, some of these guys put so much time in the pages. I mean, it's really beautiful, the whole layout. And the thing is, what really made it stand out was the detail. And you see how skillfully these guys, you know, just take a something that's realistic and put it on paper to make it look realistic, you know, put 3D into 2D, as they say. And the thing, they did it so well, I mean, consistently, that's what made their pieces a masterpiece because it was a high level compared to everybody else. So, it looks like I'm the only art lover here, but is that the only part of, say, of a masterpiece? Is something, can something else be done and say that's a masterpiece? I'm sorry. Can something else, can we find, say, besides art, is there something else in life that we could look at and say, that's a masterpiece? Mm-hmm. Or something that we have done ourselves, say, I created a masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything that is made, you can say that. Well, just about anything. But I mean, like a building, mm-hmm. is architecture. that architecture that we can say is a masterpiece. So certain things that have been, you know, I mean, you know, you think about the Great Pyramids of Egypt, for example. You know what I mean? Things like that, Eiffel Tower or something. You know. So I think pieces of architecture can be a masterpiece.
Masterpiece. So what makes the pyramid, the Eiffel Tower, that stands out besides regular, you know, regular two-piece or two-story home?
Yeah.
That's something that's outstanding. That's a masterpiece. That's an original. That's unique.
Yeah.
Anything else? It's something that you put your effort, sometimes even in cooking. You know, there's different chefs out here. They, you know, they experiment and put different seasonings in food. And they say, okay, they keep going at it, keep putting time and effort until they find the perfect blend of different seasons and you know, temperature. And they say, oh, this is my masterpiece. Anything that we put effort into creating, that's a masterpiece. And so this right here, talking about wonderfully made, we're talking about how much God had put into creating us, that we are His masterpiece. And this is something that we need to get into our hearts and spirit, because some of us, you know, we have a low self-esteem. That's what the whole study is about this month. It is about, you know, so we could have a righteous and godly self-esteem of ourselves. Amen.
Hey, Brother Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you were talking, something that's really went across my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when we get to that point where we think something or believe something's a masterpiece,
mm-hmm.
it's because the level of imagination and creativity that's revealed in the whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, art or architecture or food,
mm-hmm.
that there was something that was in the mind of someone,
mm-hmm.
in the heart of someone, that speaks to your mind and your heart. You know what I mean? Like, you see it and it just makes something inside of you come alive. And I think that's part of what, that's why, you know, we look at the pyramid and go, wow, look at that.
Yes.
How could they do that?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think it's the level of creativity that shows the imagination of the one who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that makes us really be impressed by.
Because everybody could look at it and they have an appreciation of it. And, you know, it's not just like one person, it's like everyone. Mm-hmm. How can, you know, back in those days, those big cinder blocks probably like, you know, like from here to here.
Yeah.
How did you get that high?
Yeah.
And you know, and it's shaped like, say, like a triangle.
Yeah.
And you know, and I mean, that's on the outside. On the inside, they got different chambers and rooms and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? There was no bulldozer or lift.
Yeah.
You know, he had to visit by slaves, but still, how?
Right.
You know, so that's something that's very unique.
One thing, Brother James, I can know about a masterpiece. Detailed.
Exactly.
It's something that, you know, you don't have to have nor take away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that, as Brother Jeff said, caught your eye.
Yes.
It caught your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it make you wonder. So it's so beautifully made that you don't have to do nothing to it anymore because it's so beautiful.
It's finished.
Yeah,
when, when it's done,
it's
like you say, enough that be take is detailed,
yeah.
but not that be take, you know, put into or add to
yeah.
it, or it's something that be subtracted from it.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the masterpiece. Okay, so, and we just answered by describing, say, you know, what is a masterpiece. We also talked about, you know, what are the qualities must be present in a true masterpiece. We're talking about the detail. Being it something that had to be unique. And it says right here, personal reflection. What qualities of a masterpiece do you see in yourself? Do we see ourselves as masterpiece?
Yeah.
We do it? Mm-hmm. How and what qualities? Is it what qualities of a masterpiece do we see in ourselves? You said that we are detailed.
Because you know what? And the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
God made us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there is nothing else that he could, you know, well, not say he couldn't, but he make us so well that he said we was wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
What qualities of a masterpiece do we see in ourselves? Are we detailed?
I think so.
We are. Mm-hmm. Then God said that he knows that even the number of our hairs, mm-hmm. we are detailed.
Yeah.
You know, we are unique. Are we not unique? That's yeah. one of the things we talk about as being a masterpiece. Look at the Eiffel Tower. Look at the pyramid. It don't look the same. We can look at the people here. We know we have men. We have women. We have different ethnicities. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Chinese. We have Africans, Europeans. That is something that is so unique. That is a masterpiece. It's not a...
Like that, you know, it's so unique that they cannot be a second either.
Exactly. Even with twins, you know, there's always something there that they show that this person is different from the other one. That's how wonderful God is, you know.
Exactly.
Fingerprints. I know a place where I used to work at. Even as our eye scans, you know, mm-hmm. that's detail. That's detail.
And uniqueness, though.
Exactly, unique. Right.
Because I think you know, it's hard to say you have a masterpiece if you have multiple.
Exactly, it's the same
of the same thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you know. You can like a BMW all you want, but, you know, the minute your neighbor pulls up with the same car, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, and, you know, they're selling thousands of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, there's only one of something. You know what I mean? That sort of makes it stand out.
When it's one of something, what that makes it more, special.
Yeah.
But when you have, say, you know, you have, say, a Lamborghini, oh, yeah, that, you know, everybody can say, wow, that's special. You have a Lamborghini in your driveway. But you come home, then your whole neighborhood have a Lamborghini, you're like, oh, well, ain't nothing special about that. So that's what makes it unique. All right, I hand out a paper, you know, we're reading from Psalms 139. And usually I read from the... New King James Version, but I was going on Bible Gateway, you know, checking out the different interpretations, and I really like the Message version right here, so I would like to read that. It says, this is a Psalm of David, and it reads, God, investigate my life, get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To beat out of your sight. If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh yes, you shake me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration, what a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life are prepared before I even live one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God, I never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good, and you murderers out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap, God, imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Again, that's the Message version. But what here David is saying that he wants God to really say, know him, who he is. He's telling God to search him. He wants God, because he just wants to have that, he said that the creator and created person bond. You know, and you know, he's just saying, basically right here, it's more say, instead of a song, it's like a prayer to the Lord. It's the searching to find out who he is. Because God already knows who he is, but it's something that David had as such an exuberance, was want God to really know. He wants to really know who God is. Amen. It says right here. Question number one. How does this song personalize the fact that God knows everything? And this is from reading verse 1-6. How does David states that God knows everything? And in the song here is through 1-6. Well, let's look at the songs here. One is saying that he's an open book, right? He said, I'm an open book to you. When a book is open, you would know what's inside the book. You would read it, right?
There's no secret.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things that David's saying. What else is David saying in his, verses 1-6?
Because the pride that, you know, David asked God just to search him and know him and you know, even when he is in a distant, and he never, God never, he just asking God to never leave him, you know, and in everything that, you know, in everything that he do and say, he just want God to guide him, and you know, make him be alive, you know, for him. So that's what the prayer that David asked was God.
Yeah, he said he wanted David to know. He's about to say in the song, personalize the facts. It says one thing, you say that, you know, if you say that he's an open book, the book is open, you can read it for it, there's no secret. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they say, even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing, how you make it personal, right?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's so amazing because he's saying, like, I'm an open book, right?
He's here reading, right?
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I guess, meditating and what he's saying. So he's like basically saying, I'm an open book, you know, but at the same time, you know, I know you create me, you know, and I know you know everything about me. So because of that, I cannot even trust myself to say that I'm clean all the way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I'm coming to you and I'm going to let you be like my guidance, you know, I'm going to go to you for the answers, something mm-hmm. like that, I kind of see it. So to me, what is so amazing is that even though he's saying he's an open book, and even though that he's saying, but to me, someone that says I'm an open book, I don't have no secrets. But that's still saying, even though he's saying that, he's still saying, I'm not 100% perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to become perfect, I have to go to you. Something like that, if I'm trying to explain it.
I think that's true. And another thing, so David is presenting himself to God as open. You know, and say, look, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the first saying, he said, I'm an open book to you. Mm-hmm. Then he's saying, from a distance, you already know what I'm thinking. Then he said that, you know, say, I am never out of your sight. So he said, I'm right here, so God, read me. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what David is presenting himself, you know, to the Lord. And he's saying, I look behind me, and you're there. Mm-hmm. And then ahead of me, you're there too. Mm-hmm. And basically saying that no matter where I go, where I'm at, what I think, what I see, whatever, God is there.
I cannot hide.
Exactly.
You know, you know, getting to the question talks about mm-hmm. that God knows everything. Mm-hmm. Right? How does he personalize the fact mm-hmm. that God knows everything?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we look at the scripture, everywhere it says you know. You yeah. know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about how much God knows us, mm-hmm. which is not a surprise since he made us.
Right? Yes.
But even deeper than that, he knows what you're going to say. It says here, before you start the sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? So it's like, you might as well not try to act like you're anything because he already knows.
Exactly.
You know, when someone knows you that much, mm-hmm. you can't fool them.
Exactly.
Can you imagine talking to somebody like your wife? Can you imagine if your wife knew everything you was going to say before you said it? She knew when you left and when you got back, even when she wasn't even there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, where were you, James? What could you say?
Exactly.
You're like, oh, I was at the gym. And she knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? So it's like, you might as well be honest.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Because they, right? And that's mm-hmm. how God is. He knows everything.
Everything. And that's what David was establishing. He said, you already know it. Right? He said, you know what I'm going to say, what I'm going to think. You know, he said, you already know. So, yeah, there's nothing there to hide.
Yeah.
So, he know that. So, he established the fact, number one, that God knows everything. Then we also established the fact that God is present everywhere. And this is found also in verses 7 through 12. How does that state? How do God know that how do we know that God is everywhere? And through the verses right here, 7 through 12.
He's saying there's no place he can go to avoid him. Mm. He's everywhere. He's not out of his sight. He's in the sky. He's on the ground. He's in the light. He's in the dark. Everywhere I turn, you're there. So there's no place. God is everywhere.
God is everywhere. We can't escape. We can't hide under the bed. We can't hide under the sheet. Some people think that, okay, I'm at some way religious here, but if I go on vacation or go someplace else, the God can't see me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that say, okay, I'm going to act some way in church, but when I get to work, I'm going to act a different way.
Yeah.
But God is there.
Yeah.
God is everywhere.
Or also a big example also is that you could say you Christian all the way that you want to, but and then when you get upset, you start cursing and everything comes out. You know what I mean? So
you don't say, "Oh, God, did you hear that?"
So
God knows.
Right, so.
God, you know, this is leading up to something because we just trying to establish fact that number one, that God knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is present everywhere. And through verses 13 to 18, he created everything. And we know that. And that he is perfectly holy. 19 to 24. What does it mean being holy? Being holy is to be separate, right? Separate from the world. So it's set apart. So we know that God knows everything, that he's present everywhere. He created everything. So we know we established that part.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's a holy God. So according to the psalmist, what specific things does the Lord know about us? This is again verse 1 through 6. Question number 2.
You know what we're thinking, you know what we're doing. He's going to look at us. Going to say,
yeah.
You know what we say?
He knows who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The real person.
Yeah. Exactly. Didn't Jesus say that as well? He said, many men come to worship him, but their hearts are far away from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So, that's, we can't hide, we cannot, and that's one thing about God. God don't bite his tongue. Mm-hmm. You know, he will call a hypocrite a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. He will call a brother of vipers a brother of vipers, you know. Because he said, you know, we can't hide who we are, you know, we try to pretend. That's why the Pharisees hated him. Because he showed them out. He showed them who they are.
Straight as it is.
Yeah, exactly. He said, you know, trying to go around here trying with the long, drawn face. They're like, oh, you fasting? God said, who are you trying to impress? My God. Yeah, so right here we're saying that the specific thing that God knows, the Lord knows about us. All right, now this is a good one here. 3. How do we respond to the fact that God constantly attends to our every thought, word, and action? Now we already say that God knows everything. Mm-hmm. God is everywhere. We already said this and we established this. Mm-hmm. God knows we're going to say and think what happened. Mm-hmm. So now, how does that make us feel?
Less anxious. Less, maybe less worried, because, you know, sometimes you live your life in just a total denial. You know what I mean? Like, and you need someone to wake you up. You know what I mean? And if they have food to do, then God. You know what I mean? You know, when you go to him and you thinking that you're right in certain things, and then he's showing you when you pray, he shows you that your way of thinking or your way of acting is not the correct one. Mm-hmm. But you think that is the correct one. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, I think that gives me some kind of hope, some kind of to stay a little bit more calm, you know what I mean? Knowing that, you know, that you could go to him, you know what I mean? Because if you go by yourself, if you go by what you think, you're lost.
Yeah. I'm lost.
It makes me feel two things.
Uh-huh.
One, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, part of the way we live, we like to create impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want, you know, the way I dress,
mm-hmm.
the cologne I wear, the car I drive, everything is designed in some fashion to create some kind of impression of who we are.
Yeah.
As people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your phone.
I know.
Maybe Jesus.
It would mean.
But we can't create no impression with God because He knows us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't fake it. You can't just put something on. And you said earlier that we're not perfect, right? And you're right. And so, but all those imperfections are thoroughly known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got imperfections that nobody knows.
Yes.
But you and God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even those closest to you don't even know.
Yeah.
And that makes us feel good that all our stuff ain't out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
But with God, all our stuff is out there. So it's like, ooh, I feel a little uncomfortable. That's one. But then I feel good too, because God still loves me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all the things I do wrong that nobody else knows about. But look what it said. It said that he knows your every thought.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else knows your every thought.
Exactly.
We hide our thoughts. You know, we think things about people, but we say other stuff to them.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't like them, but you still treat, you know, you still smile at them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can think one thing and say and do something else, you know. Mm-hmm. But God knows all of it.
Yes.
But he still loves me anyway. And that, so that makes me feel good that even with my imperfections, he's not there saying, you know, how could you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He still loves me anyway.
Yeah. I agree with that, because for me, I feel the same way. You know, I feel good because God sees me with all my imperfections, but yeah, I still feel uncomfortable. I still, you know, it makes me aware. Oh, I said, why did I do it? Because I know that God is looking at me. God is watching me. So I said, why? You know, and then God, even with our imperfection, God still expects us and wants us to do better.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, Lord. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm for myself, I'm more aware of what I say and what I do and how I do it. But, yeah, I'm still real. I'm like, God, this thing is stressing me out or what have you.
Yeah.
But God already knows that, you know. So I say, well, how does that make us feel that God knows that about us? But yet, you know, how does that make us feel that God knows everything about you? Jeff and I, you know, I'm trying to get some responses here. Did that it make you feel in type of way that God knows everything about you?
For me, I know, you know, it made me want to present myself as a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you have, it's just like when you are in school and the teacher is not there, you can do whatever you want, but when the teacher is over looking down on you, you try to do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even in sports or whatever you do, if you have your job, you try to do the best you can when you present yourself much better.
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody around you. So I thank God that He watching over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking down on me, knowing me. I know what I'm gonna do, and one of the good things that I can relate to that, He warns me. He made sure that He told me that, you know what, Christine, you're going down the wrong road. Turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Because He knows what I'm going to face up on my journey. And sometimes when your journey is in front of you and you don't see it, it is not something that, you know, you're looking forward to, but God already know what's there, what trouble and crosses you're going to face. And He warns you. He said, you know, do this or do that. So I just thank God that He, you know, is watching over me and directing my path and hearing my words and, you know, just...
But that's in everything, though. Even the thing that you do right and even the thing that you do wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that for that reason, I think that that's the reason why is that I feel like I'm more like at ease and in peace with that. Because
mm-hmm.
if I do right, He's seeing it, right?
Yes.
If I do wrong, He sees it. He's my only judge, you
mm-hmm.
know. I'd rather for Him to be my judge than be Christine.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's just my saying that for me that I put Christine because that's what she was looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I mean when I say that I'm more at ease because He's the only one that knows it all. So
exactly. So you're comfortable with your Creator.
Yes.
You're comfortable with Creator, yes. Knowing everything about you, seeing everything about you, and everything. So this is what David is saying. God, investigate our lives. Question number 4. The psalmist declares that God's knowledge of him is wonderful. That's in verse 6. Yet, why do you think, or why do we think, he feel an urge to flee from God's presence? Verse 7 to 12. I'll read that.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. It says, this is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. But then it says from verses from 7-12, he said, now he switched over and say, but saying that God, you know, knows everything about me, is, you know, you're wonderful, you're great. But then 7-12, he say, is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go on the ground, you're there. If I flew on morning wings to the far western horizon, you find me in a minute. It's kind of like he's hiding. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark at night. I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Why would he say that? You know, at first he's saying, God, you're wonderful. You know me, you read me, you see me and everything. But next thing you know, I'm running. And even though I'm trying to run, you see me. I'm still there. You still go find me. Why would he say that?
Because I just believe that, you know, even though you know God watching him, even though you know God knows everything about him, even though, you know, he would love to do something that God doesn't know.
He loves
his mind. He wanted to do something, you know, or go someplace, or, you know, and said, oh, God, just like you said, the person would be here and said, spiritual, and then he go to a vacation because nobody's there to see him. Mm-hmm. So he just said, where can I go?
Exactly.
You know, the scripture said, he said, is there any place can I go to avoid your spirit? You know, but God telling him, there's no place.
Exactly.
You know, but he would have loved that. But it's already done that there's nothing he can do. That God not going to see him.
I think that he was thinking that, you know, God's wisdom is way too wonderful to understand. It's just too awesome. You can't wrap your mind around it. And then he put into, like, so even if he tries to hide anywhere, if he tries to go here or he goes there, that God's wisdom is so much that God knows where he is. And I think he was just trying to find a place in his mind where he could flee from God's presence when he doesn't feel like he's worthy of God's presence. And he says, where can I go? And everywhere I go, even in the dark. So even when I'm doing wrong, you're there. You're there in the dark. And you see me. And I think it was just like, you just can't wrap your mind around that. How does God see everything that you do, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, even in your head?
When we do something wrong, how does that make us feel?
That's exactly right.
Oh, sorry,
that's exactly right. See, to me, it sort of comes down to being simple, yeah, like that, right? It's like, you know, when you mess up, sometimes, and you know you mess up with somebody, the last person you want to see is that person.
Exactly.
Like, so you know you mess up with your wife, you try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
You know you mess up with the boss, you try to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes that happens. But I think the other thing that everyone else said, too, is part of it. You know, like Christine said, you know, you want to go somewhere where you want to go somewhere where you can't be seen. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like, you know, it's overwhelming, the idea that everything, you know everything about, you know what I mean? It's like you just at least want to be somewhere where you can at least be, I don't want to say free, but sort of like out of sight, you know what I mean? But there's no such place but God.
There's not.
There,
you know, so whether, but I think it's two things. I think it's that, but I sort of relate to what you were going down.
Yeah.
When you mess up with somebody, sometimes you don't want to.
You don't want to.
When you know it comes back to those imperfections we were talking
exactly.
about. Exactly. Like, so when you feel that way, you want to.
I know for myself, you know, when I mess up, I feel ashamed.
Yeah.
I feel ashamed. I don't want to be, you know, that's why I'm like, I don't want to pray to God or. I know he's, you know, I know he's displeased with what I've done. Mm-hmm. I know he's displeased with what I said. So therefore, I don't want to have that conversation. Because I know that God, this is something that God, this is God's standard. And I didn't meet that standard. So therefore, I don't want to, you know, like you say, don't want to face God with that. You know, he already knows it. You know, I did something and he's like, he found out about it. But the thing is, I don't want to face God, you know, say, God did this, I'm sorry, you know. He's like, what? You know.
That's the reason why a lot of people don't come to church.
Exactly.
Because they always say they have to get themselves right before they come to church.
Yeah.
But they know once they walk through those doors, God is there. Even though God is where they are, but they don't acknowledge that where they are. But they know if they come to the church, they're going to meet God. And he's going to see everything that they are and everything that they've done. And that's why they already condemn themselves before they even walk in the doors. They say, I'm not going there because I've got to clean up myself first.
There's no sense. Yeah, I understand what you're saying because a lot of people say that, but yet we know that we can't clean up ourselves.
We know that, but yeah, they
don't. Yeah, they don't. You know, that's what people say. I'm not coming to church because I don't. I have to wait till I buy a suit. I don't have no suit. Until I get a suit, that's when I come to church because they all going to look at me.
Oh, I've done too much for God to forgive me, so I got to get it right first.
I got to get it right. I clear my act.
That's why you know when you asked the question earlier about in question three, how do you respond? I said two ways. I'm possible, but then I feel grateful because God loves me with my imperfections.
Yes.
Because like you said, you feel like staying away from God. But if you know God loves you, you know you can come anyway. Yeah. Exactly. See what I mean? And that part's important, just like Sister Mel was saying. If people knew God loves you anyway, you wouldn't be saying, I'm staying away until.
Yes.
You just come.
You just come.
Right? So that's why it's those two things. Yeah, I feel uncomfortable because I messed up, because who doesn't? Right?
Yes.
I feel like falling into a hole in the ground. But then I remember God loves me, and I say, I don't have to do that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the wonderful part about it, that I can mess up. Not that I want to.
Yes.
But even if I do, God's never going to turn his back.
And that's the one thing that we say we have to do is get that connection to know that despite the many times we do mess up, God do love us.
Yeah.
And therefore, if I know that God loves me and that God is my creator, I'm not worried about what other people say about me because, ooh, James Lyons did this, James Lyons did that. So what? Yes, I did. But guess what? My life is not dependent on what you think about me. It's about what God do. I remember some years ago, I did mess up, and I was feeling real bad about it. And I went to work, and I was just listening. I was like, man, I should have done it. Then something on me, this was totally God. I was listening to Yolanda Adams from Morning Show, and she said, the Lord is just saying something to her spirit right now. The Lord said, he know what you did. He's not pleased with it, but yet he still loves you.
Amen.
And I mean, that right there blew me away because I said, that only came from God. God knew what I did. He's not pleased with it, but he said he loved me, and my host demeanor changed right there. And I said, okay, guess what? Yeah. I'll get right back up and still continue to do my best to live right for the Lord. And, you know, not live by someone's condemnation of what I do, what I'm supposed to do, what have you. And that's the beautiful thing about that.
And can I say something? And that's why it is that I say that I could just rest in God and, you know.
Yes.
And that's why I say that for me, I'm pleased that he's my judge. Because I feel like when he says to you, bring your baggage. You know what I mean? To me, that's important for you to have that relationship to God because he knows it all. Like, he literally knows all about you. So, which means you can't go and lie. You can't go and hide. So why not open it up and just hand it into him and just show him who you are because he knows it all, right? There's a part in the Bible where it says that we even have to pray for the things that we don't even remember that we did wrong, you know, but we did them, you know, that we even have to pray for that. So my whole thing is that when we say we are open book, you know, the first one where we have to be open book is to God. You know what I mean? Like, talk to him about the stuff that you did because, you know, you can't hide from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if you cannot be an open book, like, to go and pray, you know, to him, it's because you still have things that are closed that needs to be open. You know, like, for example, for me, like, with my life and my testimony, you know, like, I have, you know, because of my husband that he's been going to different places, I have this testimony that I have. And in some churches, you know, for them the testimony was too big.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm not gonna shut my mouth. Because
mm-hmm.
God freed me from that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That was the old night that I'm no longer
yes.
that person. You know, and by me opening my mouth and telling you the dirt that the devil did
mm-hmm.
with me, that's going to open other people's mouth to also do the same thing.
Mm.
So you're not going to close my mouth for me to give my testimony because that's where God got me from.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it's very important that, you know, we become an open book by going to God, you know, and telling him, to let him know everything. So to me, I'm like, God, thank you that you my judge.
Yeah.
Because I know that with him, I no longer have secrets. He knows them all.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And you led into my next question, which is off the page right here. My next question is, what I was saying, I was questioning, what I say, a statement. That's why we need to open up our mouth and let other people know. Like,
yes.
Like Brother Jeff was saying, there's people out here who's staying away from church. Who's staying away from church, don't want to come to church because they think all they're going to do is talk about me, yada, yada, yada. But if you open up our mouths, and that's one thing I continue to pray about, that God open up my voice so that, you know, the word that come out of my, my throat is not mine, but it's the Holy Spirit, so that people would know that and say, look, I've done dirt just like you. And yet God loves me. So guess what? If God, if despite the dirt that I've done, that God loves me, God will love you too, despite the dirt that you've done.
Amen.
And I was on to my wife the other day, just yesterday, talking about a neighbor of mine. And, you know, I was still praying for him too. But he was saying, he was talking about. He said, "Yeah, you know, Jay, I know that I'm cursing and blah, 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 but yet God going to, he said, come as you are. And I said, yes, God said, come as you are, but God do not want us to be at the same level. He's going to bring us up to his level. It's not like come as you are and stay where you are so you can continue to do whatever you want. No, God wants to bring us to his level and everything. God will clean us up. He's the one that cleaned us up, you know. Ain't no age, but you know, one thing the Holy Spirit told me, say, even though it's like a flower, starting off as a little bud until it opens, you know, just because it might be a little bud, I can't go around yelling at cursing it, you know. I said, okay, just try to nurture the person to bring them up to the level that God wants them to be. Instead of, I say, brother, you know, get yourself together.
So, Brad, it's so funny. That even though God knows us all.
Yes, he knows everything about us.
And know everything about us. But we still have to let him. You still have to tell him.
Yes, because
we still have to open up and let him know. He knows.
He already knows.
But we still, he wants us.
He wants us. Why do you think God wants us?
Why do you think is that?
Why do you think, this is a good discussion right there. Why do you think God
wants you to free yourself? So that's why you don't want to discuss it. That's why you don't want to talk about it. Because, you know, you're not free from it.
Yeah, because it first thing that comes in, when you talk, like if you were stressed out, and some people say if you cry, you know, it kind of release a lot from you. And if you know you have someone you can talk to, and tell all your dirt and your junk and release that pressure, because it's a pressure.
It is.
That's building up in you. You know, that thing can make you so sick. You know, can kill you.
Burden ourselves and we can bring ourselves down.
Yeah, so it is so wonderful, man, to know that even though God knows us, even though we have everything on us, but we still have to open up and let him know, you know.
We just open up. It's not like saying he doesn't know. The thing is, we open up so that he could. So he wants us to establish a relationship with him.
Yeah.
He wants us to bring to our mind that we are dependent upon him. Just like say, like you see, like a parent, you know, they will see a child mess up, and they say, okay, they see the child do something. They say, what did you do? You know, they lie or what have you. But I say, no, tell me the truth. Because they want to have their relationship. They say, look, you can trust me, even though you messed up, I'll still love you.
Amen. And you know, I know we've been talking about messing up, but it's everything to them.
Yes,
you know what
yes.
I mean? Like your desires,
mm-hmm.
you know, your fears, your concerns. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He knows all those things.
All of them.
Right? He says, you know what you're thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he knows everything that's on our mind.
Yes.
And so, you know, and it's to help us.
Yes, exactly.
In other words, like you said, it's not that he doesn't know. We're not telling him anything.
Exactly.
We're just sharing with him, mm-hmm. you know, and it's helping us to learn how to trust him.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
What do we say with people, right? We say, I can't tell everybody everything. Why? Because you can't trust everybody. Everybody.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can maybe tell my wife something that I can't tell my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe can tell my sister something that I can't tell my neighbor.
Yes.
Because I have different levels of trust.
Exactly.
But with God, we should be able to tell everything.
Everything.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Nadia said, you know, he's our judge. It's a good thing that he's the one because
mm-hmm.
he's righteous. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so it helps us to learn how to trust him by just telling him what he already knows. It's helping us.
Yes.
Get it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's the our thing to do, what God do, because he wants us to, you know, to come to the realization, to the awareness, you know, and say, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that. And God said, yes, you know, he just revealed that thing to us that's always been there all the time.
It's also a matter of confessing.
Mm-hmm.
We speak what we believe. And if we can't even speak what we believe to God, we can't possibly speak it to other people. So God asks, even though he knows, but he still wants us to have enough belief and trust in him that we can speak it, that it can come out of our mouths. That's showing him that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So true.
Yeah. Next question. Number five. How do we hide our true selves from God? There's some things right there. And is it what do we hide? I said, when we do hide our true selves from others? Well, first of all, we can't.
We can't.
We can't. You can't hide from God, so.
We try to hide, but we don't come to church. But we can't.
Okay. No way. But either we come to church, I think, no, to me, the big way we try to hide from God, denial.
Mm-hmm.
We deny that we're a certain way. We deny that we think in a certain way. We deny our motives. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We try to, oh, no,
amen.
I'm not. Right? Yes. We deny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Not me. Even when we get convicted by the word, we deny the word.
Yeah. We rationalize all that stuff.
We break it down to the level that we want to.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that.
No.
Yeah.
Not me.
Exactly.
Maybe if you say that, then I would.
We point to other people.
Exactly.
They're worse than me. Exactly. If I don't do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did this, but I don't do that.
Yeah, I stole those 2 packs of pens from the job, man. At least I didn't go to the strip club last night. You know?
That's what he did. I don't do that
no more. No. Praise the Lord. Exactly. That's how we hide ourselves, our true selves from God, from our Lord. Say, so when do we hide our true selves from others?
It is the same thing as Nadia said, you know, God is only judge. You know, you can tell God everything, but, you know, there are a lot of things you can't tell others. You can't tell your friend, as Jeff said, you can't tell Stanley certain stuff, and you can't tell your sister certain stuff, and you can't tell your neighbor, because there's a level of trust.
Yeah.
You know, where you can trust people but to a level where God already knows, so you can't give him all, but you can't tell everybody everything, because people, as human beings, people judge you by.
We judge, they criticize, they gossip.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you don't tell them, how would they know?
Exactly.
Well, God knows all of that, you know, but he said a word from your mouth is shall defile you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes you speak the word to somebody and they use it against you.
Yeah, use all or try to attack
it's
us or break
just
us
like
down.
You say, you're watching those party show. They come and they harass you. Say, you know, if whatever you say, whatever you do,
can't be used against
you. Uh-huh. You know, so sometimes whatever you say to people, they can't use it against you, to harm you, you know. And that's what the devil wants.
Exactly.
You know.
And isn't that what they did to Jesus also? Mm-hmm. You know, like, they crucify him, you know, for saying the truth. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
The word they, sometimes, you know, sometimes you say good stuff, you say bad stuff, and it still hurt you. Mm-hmm. Because you can't, you know,
it's what I think is interesting about all of this is that I think it's about acceptance, right? That in all our imperfections, God knows everything about us, but He accepts us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why we hide things from people, we hide our feelings, we hide our thoughts, we hide our insecurities, we hide our failures, is because we think if they know that, they won't accept us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so we give them what we think would make us acceptable to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we show them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we make. But with God, you know, the freedom comes, and we're talking about self-esteem, right?
Mm-hmm.
The freedom comes with knowing, even with the things I do right, the things I do wrong, God accepts me.
Mm-hmm.
So know what that allows me to do? That allows me to stand straight up with my chest out, my head held high.
Yes.
I'm not perfect, but I'm accepted.
Exactly.
And that gives me a self-esteem that I don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
My nose doesn't have to be right. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to speak the right words all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mess up. Yeah, I drop stuff. Yeah, I'm clumsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But God still accepts me. So now I can stand and look in the mirror without being ashamed. And I think that's the thing. Because if people were like that with us, we feel a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people hurt our self-esteem because I'm worried about how they're going to receive me.
Mm-hmm.
But once God accepts you, you start to care less about people.
Thank you. Exactly.
And do you think that's a process, Pastor?
No question.
It is a process?
I think so. I think all this stuff with God is. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, we're constantly learning and growing, and He's constantly teaching us and bringing us along, you know. But, you know, that acceptance, I think, is so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
God knows everything we do, and He still loves us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, think about with a kid. You know, if your kid knows that even when they mess up and everything else, that's okay, Mommy still loves you.
Yeah.
It's okay, Daddy still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be worried about every mistake they make.
Exactly. Exactly.
If it's a freedom that comes with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's such a protection and security in being loved and accepted.
And that's why I say we have to know that we have a true connection and who we are, and that we are of God, not of what the world says. Because it reminds me of a story, you know, say of when Moses died, Satan tried to claim Moses for his own because he murdered someone. But Michael continued to say, no, this say the Lord God rebukes you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said, no. He said, yes, Moses did this, man, he killed that Egyptian back in the day, but yet he is God. So therefore, you know, same thing with us. Despite the things that we say and done, and we know that God is everywhere, sees everything, God still loves us. And this is one thing, you know, that we're studying right now is how to have a godly self-esteem of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be so worried about what other people say or think about us, but have our whole focus on the Lord. Because if God knows that, I know that if I'm loved by the Lord, I don't worry about trying to be accepted by someone else or is someone going to smile at me or not. Because I'm like, okay, whatever. I know that God loves me. I know that God smiles on me. I don't have to have on the correct pair of socks because God is going to disown me or something like that. No.
But you know what, Brother James? Even that, you know, it takes time.
Process.
Mm-hmm. Process to know someone and to trust someone that you can be open to them.
Yes.
Because a lot of times you meet somebody and you say, oh, that person is my friend, or that person is, you know, is a good person. But you don't know the half of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ways that person were, what that person will say behind your back, or what that person will do, you know. But by gradually knowing them and getting to know them better, you know, your whole concept around them is changing little by little. See, it takes patience, it takes time, it takes, you know, time to know people and to can get to trust them, that you can open up to them too.
Yes, it develop a relationship with people. Yes, again, people, but yet always had that strong relationship with God. That's why we talk
to him. You have to.
Yeah, you know, we have to have that strong relationship where we talk to him more than people. Amen. This is the lay down of our foundation of self-esteem. Because I'm saying, seriously, if we know who we are in Christ and that we are loved despite what's going on, then, you know, we will be in a much better place. Amen. Amen. Right. This Brian has a prayer.
Yes,
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing your word to us, Lord.
Yes.
That let us know that, God, that we are wonderfully made, Lord. That you love us, Lord. That you are everywhere, God. No matter what we say, no matter where we go, Lord, we know that you are there, God. And, God, that we also know that you appreciate us, that you love us, Lord. And you just want us to have and recognize that we should have a strong bond with you, Father. Ask you, Lord, to please help us, Lord, as this process to develop that bond, Lord, where we are here to just to glorify and to please you in the name of Jesus, Father. Ask you, Lord, to please continue to open up our hearts and minds to your word.
Yes.
Let not the seed that was deposited in us like fall, Lord, rather than and ground in us, Lord, so I have deep root in us, Lord, so that we can continue to grow and build, Father. Ask you, Lord, to please watch over us tonight, Lord, as we're about to go home, Lord, that everything is in order, Lord, that everybody is safe, Father. And ask you, Lord, to please we give you glory, Father, until next time we come together. In Jesus' mighty name, we say and pray and we exalt. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.